Come on, everybody are in this house. If you have a need this morning, God is in this place. Let me tell you, we are on the precipices of something miraculous happening in this place. Well, how do I know? How do you know that, Brother Harper? The Word says, I know the things Well, Brother Taylor, that scripture just left my mind, but I know what it says. To restore you, to keep you, to give you an expected end. Well, how do I know that God wants to do that for me? Because if He'll do it for somebody else, He will do it for you, because God is no respecter of persons. And because while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And the Bible says that He was bruised and He was beaten. And the chastisement of our peace was upon Him. I've purposed in 2026 to follow the peace of the Lord, because He paid that price for my peace. So I don't have a problem. It may seem like I have a problem, but I'll say, God, you know what? You got an issue over here. Because I can't do anything in and of myself. But Lord, I need you to take care of this situation. Today, if you have a need, it can be found at the feet of Jesus. Because we have a promise. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning. I told Brother Brown, we had a situation in the ladies' restroom before church. And I told Brother Brown, I said, God's got something in store for us. Something good's going to happen. If He's trying to flood the ladies' bathroom on a Sunday morning, I mean, how petty do you have to be to try to mess with the ladies' bathroom on a Sunday morning? Try to get us distracted. But I've come to tell you that God is in this place. And whatever you have need of this morning, it can be found in this place, because where the presence of the Lord is, there is liberty. I said, where the presence of the Lord is, there is liberty. And we have a liberty to worship Him this morning. We have a liberty to stand and make our needs and our petitions known boldly in the throne room. Amen. I'm not preaching, but it's like fire shut up in my bones this morning. Our kids can be dismissed. Sister Harper has our older kids. Sister Faye has our nursery. And we have Brother Taylor all the way from Tallahassee. I didn't see him bring his wrench in this morning, but he's always got that smile tucked away. Brother Taylor, come and administer the word to us this morning. Everybody say, God bless Brother Taylor.
Amen. Would you give the Lord another hand clap of praise this morning? Amen. Amen. I asked my wife to just come and greet you all this morning before I preach, and let her say a word for the Lord.
Praise the Lord, church. It's always good to be here with you again. I was just thinking, I'm sure maybe this is just for me, but as a new year comes, instead of when I was young, I used to look forward to a new year because it was always something new and exciting, and now I find myself tiptoeing into the new year because I don't know what it brings. And I was telling somebody yesterday, well, this weekend, you know, sometimes when a hard thing comes in a year, it overshadows all that the Lord's done for us. And we have to remind ourselves all the good that He did and not let the negative overshadow the good. So I find myself, as I tiptoe into 2026, I'm like, Lord, you got it all. You have every step that I'm going to make. He goes so far before us. I was talking to Sister Knowles this morning. You know, sometimes we have to look back and see how far, I don't know, I'm sure in your lives, because I know in mine, I see how far the Lord went before me to prepare my way and to set up things specifically for me, little old me. And who am I in the presence of God? And I pray that you will trust in Him Because he wants the very best for you. He knows where he wants you to walk and where he wants you to go. He knows every step that you're going to make. He's going to be with you before you ever get there. And he's going to keep you. So if you're like me and you're tiptoeing in, the Lord wants you to be bold and to just come into it, because he has great things for you this year. Great things for you. So don't let last year overshadow what he has for you this year, because I truly believe he wants something. He has something great for you in 2026. Wonderful things. And I'm just trying to trust the Lord. The longer I walk with the Lord, and it's been a long time, the more that I have to trust in him and the more that I have to lean on him. Because I don't know. I don't know. But he knows. And you know what? He will equip you for every single thing that you're going to need. If you give it all to him, he's going to keep you. He's going to lead you. He's going to guide you. You're not going to have to try to figure it out. And as a woman, maybe it's just a woman, but as Christy Taylor, I like to know what's going to happen. I need to know what's going to happen. But that's not how he works, because he's just doing this. Come on. Come on. Come on. I'll show you the way. And it's a very scary step that you have to make, because it's called faith and trust. And it's two pretty wonderful looking words on a piece of picture frame, you know. We put it all over our house. But when you have to walk in that, it's not so pretty sometimes. But the Lord will keep you. He will direct you. You don't have to know. You don't have to figure it out. He knows what you need, and he knows where you're going. If you put him first in everything that you do, you don't have to worry about anything. He will be with you every step of the way. So we love y'all, and we're so thankful to be here with you all.
Amen. Would you give the Lord another hand clap of praise today? Amen. Amen. She could have just kept going. Amen. Amen. I'm going to let you be seated this morning before I read a scripture in just a minute. We'll get to that, but we've had a very busy week this week, and we've had a lot of running and a lot of different things to do, and I'm just glad to be here right now, because sometimes you wonder if you're going to make it from day to day, but we have made it back up here and are ready to have church with you. Theologians argue about a lot of things. They argue about this thing probably more than anything else. God gave us two gifts, and you tell me which you think is the greatest if you want to. He gave mankind first the gift of choice. Angels didn't have it. The earth doesn't have it. We do. And he also gave us the gift of salvation. And I lean towards the gift of choice, because if he had to shove salvation down our throats, what good is that? That we just have to do it. He gives us the ability to choose what we do. If you read your Bibles, and I'm assuming everybody's still on fire, you know, you've only got to the 14th and you can go right back to the way you were last year. They say that's about how long resolutions last, 2 weeks. You've made it to the 11th of January. And I'll tell you why resolutions don't work, because it's based on this. This is what I am going to do. Good luck with that. Repentance works because it says, God, I need to change. Will you help me do this? You can get ahead with God repenting, but those resolutions don't work too well. But if you're reading in your Bibles, I love the book of Genesis. It's my favorite book in the Bible. There's these stories of contrasting people, and usually it's brothers, Cain and Abel, Ishmael and Isaac, Jacob and Esau, Joseph and his brothers. There's this constant two people that came from the same parents, but they are totally different in their approach to God. And the more I study Genesis, the more I realize that you're going to be like one of those brothers. Be seated. Be seated. We got a long way to go. Today is Bishop's birthday, before I forget. Send him a text. He loves to be singled out and get all the attention. He'll act like he doesn't, but trust me, he really loves it. Sing him a song, call him. He'll get a kick out of that. But don't tell him I told you to do it. Tell him it was Brother Harper's idea. But you have to watch, because you'll end up like Jacob, which would not be a bad thing, or you can end up like Esau, which is not a good thing. Now, I don't want to get on hunters this morning, because I know what season of your life you're in right now. Sacred time. But there's also a story later in the Old Testament about two women that made a decision and how it drastically affected their lives forever. And I want to talk to you today for just a few minutes about the story of Ruth. We know how this story begins in Ruth chapter 1. She and her husband Elimelech make a bad decision, in my opinion. They left Israel, they left Bethlehem, because there was a famine. And they went to Moab. I don't have time to tell you all that I would like to about Moab this morning, but you look it up when you get home. It is not a good place to be. I almost said something, but I'm not. Anyway, there's good places to live and there's bad places to live. Amen? You better be careful where you go, because while they were there to avoid crisis and death and hard times, they walked right into what they were trying to avoid. And Elimelech died, and Mahlon died, and Chilion died, and she lost her husband and her two sons. And in verse 6 it says, she finally did something right, in my opinion, and she did it early on. She arose and said, I am getting out of this place. And her daughter-in-laws went with her that they might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. She sent forth out of the place where she was and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughter-in-laws, go return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. And the Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. That was Orpah and Ruth. And Naomi said, turn again. Will you go with me that I may marry and have sons? Will you wait and spend your life standing beside me for these two boys to grow into men, to marry them, and to have children again? Don't come with me. She said, it grieves me, in verse 13, for your sakes, that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. In verse 14 of chapter 1, it says again, they lifted up their voice and they wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law. But Ruth clave unto her. Verse 14 sets Orpah's family and Ruth's family in two completely different directions. 15 says, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back to her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. And thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. I don't know if y'all did this when y'all were kids, and kids probably still do it today. I don't know. Our kids did it a few years ago, but I loved posters in my room, on my wall. I had it covered in them. And one of my favorite ones growing up was this big house. And I know where it was now because I've been to California. It was sitting looking over the Pacific on one of those big cliffs, big house. Three cars sitting in the garage. That red Porsche, candy apple red, not just red, candy apple red. Now I'm bringing you back, ain't I? White Lamborghini and yellow Ferrari. And at the bottom of that poster, it said, decisions, decisions, decisions. It was my goal from that moment that I hung that poster up that that would be the hardest choice I had to make every morning. Which one of those three I left my mansion on the Pacific to go drive into work to that day. Y'all ever heard that old country song that goes, wrong? I never have had to face that decision yet. Usually it's the work truck that's provided is the one I go to work in. And I've never had to make those decisions, but I can tell you when my wife was pregnant with our first son, she was struggling bad. The doctor brought us, we were in the hospital, he came and pulled me to the side and he said, you're going to have to decide something if she does not get better tomorrow. We can either leave the baby in and you're probably going to lose her, or we can take the baby and you're probably going to lose him. I was 23. Be prepared to make one of those decisions tomorrow. There was no poster available in the mall that prepared me for that. I want to talk to you today about decisions, decisions, decisions. What will you do when you are faced with a decision? We have to decide who we're going to pattern our life after. We have to decide what kind of man or woman we're going to be every day. We can stay connected to the kingdom of God. Orpah was always connected, but Ruth committed her life to the kingdom of God. The problem with people today in our generation is we want to be connected without being committed. Oh, I feel something now. We want blessing without sacrifice. And let me tell you, if you ever get a blessing without sacrifice, you tell me how you did it, because I would love to know. You're the first person in the history of mankind to do it. Be seated. I need an answer, God. And as soon as we get that answer, well, everything's okay. I'll just go back to what I was doing before. Because you're not committed and you're making terrible decisions. Amen. The lack of commitment, in my humble opinion, is the plague of our age. It kills us in every area of our life. You look out in the world, there is no commitment between employees and employers. They asked us a question the other day in a yearly planning meeting I thought was just hilarious. What would your ideal year be? That was my second answer. But my first one was this, two words, no turnover. I feel like a broke record. I train and they leave. 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 And then they want to come back and I say no. ...70% is the average divorce rate between two people that stand at an altar before God Almighty and a preacher and say, we are going to spend every good day and every bad day and every healthy day and every sick day and the days we're rich and the days we're poor. Nothing's going to separate us. They probably will not make it because they are not committed. Just reading facts. I hate to ruin a good sermon with them, but occasionally I will. Bankruptcy in the 1980s averaged about 500 people. Today it's 2 to 3 million per year. We want to be able just to walk away clean. We keep everyone at everything like this around us. Arm's length. But what happens is when we do that outside these doors, we do it when we come inside these doors. And people that want to help us, we do this. And God tries to move on us and get us to change, and we do this. We have to be a people that are willing to commit. If I tell you something, I'm getting older, and I forget more than I used to. If I don't forget, I'm going to do it. And if I do forget, you can call me, and I'll go, oh, my, I'm on my way. I forgot. But I was raised by people who, when you gave your word, it was like Job. It was carved in a rock with an iron pen, and it would haunt you for the rest of your life if you didn't keep it. I've only ever needed to do this to somebody, and I'll take out a loan for 30 years, whatever. If I shake your hand and tell you I'm going to do it, you don't have to take my blood, my fingerprints, my DNA, my Facebook profile, my checking account, my bank account, my history, my birth certificate, anything else you can find on me that we have today. Because people cannot keep their word. You've got it. But you can't do business that way anymore. Because men and women don't keep their commitments. Now I'm going to give you a chance to be quiet because y'all have been really loud this morning. Here's what bothers me the most. And this is a bad one. This movement that we're a part of was founded by committed men and women who faced things that you and I would run and crawl under our cars and not come out if we had to face. They had things thrown at them. They were called crazy. They were called holy rollers. They were called devil worshipers. The outside world wanted nothing to do with Pentecost. But they were committed. So we're here. And the problem I see in home after home and in church after church is a generation is here that is not here on commitment. They're here because this is where mom always went to church. I always went there because my grandma went there. And they're not here because they are committed to a movement at something that came into their life and changed them completely. When I was 8 years old and God filled me with the Holy Ghost, none of my parents, neither one of them, ever took me to an apostolic church. If I wanted to go, I had to get a grandmother to take me, an aunt or an uncle to take me. But God had got a hold of me and something had changed in my life, and I wanted to be part of it. And if I have to walk it with nobody in that generation behind me following, I'm going to walk with God. And if my children choose to turn and walk away, I'm going to keep walking with God because I have made a commitment to Him, and He has committed His blessings and His life and His blood for me, and I am going to keep my commitment because I have made a decision. I had to fight to get to church sometimes. And some of you, I'm going to pick on these kids over here, get mad when your mom and dad want to take you to church. Do you know what I would have given for a mom and a dad to put me in a car and take me to church? We don't understand how powerful our decisions can be. Amen. Being connected is not the same as being committed. Here's your free self-examination. Are you here for an upper room experience? And I'm going to hurt your feelings with this one. Or a supper room experience. Most apostolics are just as concerned as where they are eating after church as they are with what's going on in the service while they're in the house of God. I have been there before. I know. Is attendance optional? Giving optional? Prayer optional? Reading the word optional? Witnessing optional? Long services and moves of God upset your Sunday games? Here's my favorite. Thought about changing churches? Rather than raising your level of dedication and commitment. If you are thinking those things, you are not committed.
You are connected, but you are not committed. And you're not the first person to feel this way. This is an old problem. Joshua had to deal with this, and Moses had to deal with this. They took the Israelites out of Egypt, and they saw the hand of God do things that you and I cannot imagine witnessing. And they made a bad decision when they didn't go into the promised land. And God said, this generation is going to die in the wilderness. And Joshua took their children and took them into the promised land. And they were there almost no time at all. When they turned back to idols that their parents had just been delivered from one generation before. Because they did not have commitment. But it did not dissuade Joshua. Joshua 11 and 15 says this, as the Lord commanded Moses, his servant, so did Moses command Joshua, and so did Joshua. Let me break that down for you. The entire time Moses was alive, God never told Joshua to do anything. He told Moses. And then Moses told Joshua, and Joshua went and did it. And the Bible says there was nothing that he left undone of what the Lord commanded Moses. He did it all because he was committed. I'm going to tell you the thing that impresses me, and it always has, about Brother Knowles. And I've told him this, I think, years ago. If I didn't, I feel like we had this conversation. But he did something foolish when he was released from prison. He went home. Everybody tells you when you have something like that that happens in your life, move away from home. Get away from those people. Get away from where you used to live and the roads you used to drive. Don't go back or you'll fall right back in to what you were in before. Do you know he moved into the exact same place, lived in the exact same property, drove down the exact same roads, probably went by and waved to the exact same people that used to get him in trouble because he had made a decision to be committed to the kingdom of God, and a few dumb friends and a few dumb choices were not going to dissuade him from the word and the relationship that he had found with Jesus Christ. If you want to be committed, you can do it. If you want to be saved, you can be saved. If you want to be set free, you can be set free. But the decision is yours. Amen. Too many of us see the problem before us, see the blessing before us. And well, I'm just gonna wait on this one and just going to see how this plays out. I'm going to tell you something. You need to be like Jacob. He was facing Esau, and Esau had made it known that the next time he saw him, he was going to take him out. I hate to talk about Jacob like this, but I'm going to talk about him. So instead, he sent his servants first. I don't know what I would have done. I think I'd have been the first one across the river. You know how tailors are. Will you give us a crescent wrench? We're ready. But then he sent his herds, and then he sent his children, and then he sent his wives, and then he sent Joseph last with Rachel. And he was left alone. He could have went the other way and ran for his life until he heard what Esau's decision was going to be regarding his promise that he made. But an angel came to him. And he said, I'm not letting you go until you bless me. And he got a hold of that angel with his hands. And he wrestled. You don't hear me, men? We think these guys are bad because they can go 5 minutes and sit down and catch their breath. All night long. It's hard to fight 5 minutes without exhaustion just taking your body to where you cannot lift your head off the ground. But he got a hold of that angel and he said, I refuse to let you go until you bless me. And that angel could not break the grip. Do you hear me? He got a hold of something in the kingdom of God and refused to let it go, no matter the exhaustion, no matter the pain, no matter the fight that he was in. He refused to release the angel. And the breaking of the day came upon them, and the angel had to touch him and knock his joint out of his sciatic nerve, whatever, hamstring. And everywhere he went. But it wasn't because he lost that he limped. It's because he won. Because here's what the Bible says. When Esau saw him and he was doing this, he said, I can't kill it. That's my brother. The commitment of Jacob saved his life. It saved his family. It changed his name that day, church, from Jacob to Israel. He went from being the supplanter, the heel grabber, to the one who wrestles with God and man and prevails. That's what commitment will do for your life. Amen. In the book of Ruth, chapter 4, verse 11, it says this: after she was brought in and she was married, the people brought her to the gates of the city, and the elders said, we are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that is coming to thine house like Rachel and like Leah, which did build the house of Israel. Do thou worthy in Ephratah and be famous in Bethlehem. They took a Moabitish woman who had no business, do you hear me? No business whatsoever being mentioned with Rachel and Leah, who founded the 12 tribes of Israel. But when you keep your commitments and you learn to speak a word and keep it, and you learn to be faithful and true and do what you say you're going to do and go where you say you're going to go and perform the acts you promised to perform, God can take somebody who does not deserve to be where they are and bless them and make them into something they never dreamed possible. Amen. If you can get committed to God, you can change your world. You can change it. Thank you for those amens. We're going to have to be quiet or they're going to call the cops this morning. I'm sure we've woken up the neighbors by now. But here's the deal. Satan does not have to get you to stop committing to things to get you to quit. Here's what he does. He just convinces you that your commitment doesn't matter. He's convinced you that it doesn't matter one way or the other how you live. It doesn't matter one way or the other what you do. It doesn't matter one way or the other where you go, who you hang out with, what you let come out of your mouth. He just has to convince you that you don't matter and your commitments don't matter. And he's won. But I'm here to tell you this morning, what you say and what you do, it matters. God has only taken the small and the insignificant to do great things in his kingdom. I taught a lesson yesterday for our Purpose Institute classes about Peter and Andrew, fishermen, not scholars. They wasn't writing papers. They was catching fish. They were not Pharisees. They were not Sadducees. They were not lawyers. They were not priests. He passed over all them, uncommitted traditionalists. I almost threw up saying that. I hate uncommitted traditionalists, whatever your denomination is. If you're that, I don't like you. You need to change and commit. But he found men that were willing to commit, because commitment is greater than your pedigree. Commitment is greater than your status. Commitment is more powerful than you think it is. Because here's why. Orpah thought her decision did not matter. She wrestled with it. She cried. But only two discouragements from Naomi, and she was, go with God. I'll see you at Christmas every year, I promise. Bible says they never crossed paths. It's not recorded if they did. Ruth said, I'm not going to miss a day. I'm not going to miss a step. If I have to choose between Moab and Bethlehem, that's an easy decision. But here's what I want you to get. If you don't get anything else I say today, church, here's the thing you don't know. And I love listening to podcasts. You listen to Esther Wine, you better speak a little Hebrew, because she's back and forth between English and Hebrew and a little bit in between of everything else, and she's a Jew from New York, and she has that Brooklyn accent on top of it. And I told my wife, if I ever leave her, she can go to New York, and I'll just be sitting in class, just sitting there, just keep talking. Me and old Esther just studying the Bible. But she brings out things that you will never see. Because I never thought, what happened to Orpah? And guess what? I don't care. I don't care about the 10 spies that came back and said, we can't do it. I only want to know who Joshua and Caleb were. But do you know this about Jewish rabbis and scribes, and it's always been this way? Since she was connected to the family of Elimelech and Naomi, they kept up with her. Orpah's grandson was a little guy from Gath named Goliath. Do you hear me? She was one decision away from having a David. But she just chose to be connected to the family of God. And she went back to her people, and you can read it in the first chapter of Ruth, and to their gods. And she fell in with the giants. And her grandson would stand one day and say, I defy God. I defy his armies. I defy his king. If you want something to be afraid of, why don't you come be afraid of me? And all the Israelites went and just, oh God, he's not going to leave. Until a little boy came, who is the great grandson of Ruth, and said, who is this? He is an uncircumcised Philistine. He has no covenant with God, and I am not going to listen to this anymore. And his brothers were so encouraging. Who do you think you are? Do you come down here to see the battle, see everybody get killed? Why don't you go back to the sheep? Saul gives him his armor. You know the story. It doesn't work. He just starts. You know what killed Goliath that day? The commitment of Ruth. Because you don't know what giants your children and grandchildren will face when you are not here. And the only thing you will have to help them is the commitments that you once made to God. And if you make a commitment and keep it, I am here to tell you God will do his part. And he will do what you cannot do. And he will use them to do greater things than you ever dreamed possible. If you're willing to commit. It's easy to commit on Sunday morning. It's easy to commit when things are going great, but I'm talking about when every fiber of your being is being tested. Will you stay true to your commitments? Amen. David was more than a victor that day of one battle. We still, when our hearts are crushed, go to Psalms 23 and say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. We'll get a thing in our spirit and just think about things like David in Psalms 84 and 10 said, a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Psalms 42 and 1, as the heart panteth for water, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Because a grandmother and a great-grandmother were willing to be committed to the kingdom of God. I hope you're hearing me today, church. I hope this is sinking down into your spirit. You don't have to be perfect. Nobody that's ever lived has been. You're not going to be the first. I went to Florida State, and I'm not perfect. That puts me a little closer to it than most of y'all. Just wanted to make sure you're awake. But God has never came to me and said, you have to be perfect. Because if he did, I can't do it. But I can be committed. I can say, wherever you lead me, I'll go. Wherever you stop, I'll stop. Whoever your people are, they'll be my people. Wherever my wife is, that's where I'll be. Wherever our commitments are, that's where we'll go. Until you lay us down beside each other one day in the ground, that's where I'll be. That's where I'll go. Here's the thing in the book of Luke that concerned Jesus when he began to talk about things when he returned. Let me tell you what he wasn't worried about finding. Churches. People singing. This one really hurts my feelings. People preaching. He wasn't worried about any of that. He said in Luke 18:8, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? That one hurts my feelings because I want to be found faithful. I want to be found committed. And it's the only thing that Jesus questioned that he would find when he returns. Faith. Do you hear me? It's what moves the kingdom of God. It's what moves you to stay committed. You have to have faith. You need to get that spirit of Naomi in you today and say, I am tired of where I am at. I'm fixing to get up and get out of here and go back to where I once was with God. Naomi arose. That's probably the two most powerful words in the book of Ruth, because when you get tired of the way things are, that's when change can come. Amen? Because there's bread like there was in Bethlehem in her day. There's bread today in this house. Jesus declared in John, I am the bread of life. And you eat of this bread, and you won't be hungry for a lot of things that used to make you hunger. He takes away that from us. He gives us strength. He gives us eternal life through the body that was broken for us. It's the bread that he came and gave that redeems the lost. Do you want your children and grandchildren to know who God is and serve him? You better commit. You better go all in. Do you want your families to be found serving Jesus when he returns? You better commit. Do you want the one they look back in tough times and draw strength from to be you and your walk with God? Let me just say this. Your family should not have to read a book about what it takes to be committed to the kingdom of God. You should teach them. And when they do read a book about it, they can say, that's what my dad was trying to tell me. All those years I wouldn't listen, but I see it now. But that should not be their source. Musicians, would you come today? Would you stand to your feet this morning? Decisions, decisions, decisions. Would you bow your head with me for just a moment this morning? What has God been dealing with you about that you need to commit to him? What's the thing that he's been asking you to do and you're not really sure if you have what it takes?
Well, I can tell you right now, church, if he's asking you to do it and he sees that you don't have what it takes, that means he's fixing to use his strength to come and help you accomplish the task he's laid upon your heart. Our nation needs us to be committed to Christ. Our neighbors need us to be committed to Christ. Our children, our grandchildren, our nieces and our nephews need us to be committed to Christ. You hear me this morning. You matter. Your decisions matter more than you know. Orpah and Ruth had no idea that day when they went separate ways what their descendants would become. But one made the right decision. And one made the wrong at that crossroads that day with Naomi. And it's my prayer today that before you leave this place, you spend some time in prayer and you make the same choice that Ruth made. You go back home. You come back to church. You set yourself in that direction and you don't let anything get your attention and pull you to the right or to the left. But you make some commitments from God today. And you begin to keep those things. I have dropped my commitments. I have failed in my commitments so many times. But every time I go to Him, He is just and He is faithful to pick me back up and to dust me off and to get me back going the direction I need to be. And if you're in that situation today, God's wanting you to recommit to Him. Recommit to those promises. Recommit to those vows. Recommit to those things you said you were going to accomplish for Him. He's here to help you today. He's here to give you the strength that you need to go forward. He's here to walk with you every step of the way today. He's here to be your strength, to be your peace, to be your comfort today. He is very near to us today. Can you say amen? I feel His Spirit so strong this morning. I know it's a very soft touch of His hand that's in here today. But He's not going to force commitment on you. He's not going to push it on you. He's given you today the greatest gift that any God could ever give you, that created you and formed you. Now He's asking you, what would you like to do? What would you like to do? He's given you the gift of choice today. Hear the words of those that have gone on before you. Hear the words of Joshua when he told Israel, choose you this day who you will serve. The gods that were on the other side of the flood or the gods among you of the Amorites, all these other gods, these other people, but as for me and my